Well, Happy New Year. Our hope is that you had an absolutely incredible Christmas season, an absolutely incredible week doing the things that are most important with the people that are most important in your life. You see, around this time of the year, every single year, there's something that begins to come into focus if we look close enough. There's this desire that begins to come to the forefront in every single one of our lives and in every single one of our stories. And it's this: that deep down, we all want to be known for something. And the reason that this desire, this truth, this reality that lives inside of every single one of us begins to come into focus during this time of the year, every single year, is this. It's because at the heart of every New Year's resolution we've ever made is this desire inside of us, that we all want to be known for something. We all want to be known for something in our appearance, and so we set New Year's resolutions around making that happen in our lives and moving in that direction. It's the thing that lies at the heart of every goal and desire and dream we've ever made in our lives, that we have a dream to advance in our career, to be known for who we are as a business person or a business owner or whatever it may be in your life. And so we set goals and we have dreams around getting that promotion or that raise so that we can be known for that thing in our career that we desire with our lives. And you see, every single one of us have this in some facet of our life where we want to be known for something. And because of that, my question to begin 2023 for you is this: what is it that you want to be known for? You see, for me, that question is easy to answer. That in my life, I want to be known as a great leader. I want to be known as an innovator. I want to be known by people who see me and are close to me as a great husband to my wife. And yet what I also recognize about myself is that while these are the things that I desire to be known for, almost every single day I'm faced with the reality that I have deficiencies and shortcomings in each of those areas in which I want to be known for something greater. That within my life, I don't quite measure up to the things that I want to be known for. And because of those shortcomings and deficiencies that I'm faced with as I begin a new year in each of those areas of the things that I want to be known for, I constantly face the question, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to be good at the very thing that I want to be known for? And you see, almost every single day, what I'm faced, the question that I'm faced with and that I'm forced to answer is simply this. In the moments where I find myself not living up, not measuring up to who I want to be, what do I do? What do? When you realize you aren't measuring up to you? You aren't where you want to be. You aren't as good as you want to be. And you don't have to answer that question, because my guess is that you do a lot of the same things that I do. You see, when I realize that I'm not where I want to be, and I feel as if I'm not good enough in the areas that I want to be known for something better, in those areas, usually I do one of three things. I begin to pretend. I make excuses, and I manage my image. I pretend, I make excuses, and I manage my image. I pretend I have it all together. I pretend I'm something that I'm not. I pretend I have all the answers. Or when it's evident that I have fallen short, I begin to make excuses and shift blame. That it's really because of this circumstance in my life that I'm not where I want to be. Or it's because this person did something or didn't do something that's holding me back. And I begin to make all the excuses in the world that really allow people to realize it's not my fault that I'm not where I should be in life, or I'm not known for the things that I want to be known for. I'm not the innovator. I'm not the great leader. I'm not the husband that I should be, but it's not my fault. It's somebody else's. Or I find myself using those two things to manage my image, to alter the way people see me, to be more positive than what I really am. But the truth is, when we start to pretend and make excuses to alter my image, what we often miss is this, is that managing our image simply makes us imaginary. Because managing our image is simply creating a version of ourselves that doesn't actually exist. That person that everybody else is seeing, that we've been in an attempt to pretend that we're something that we're not or make excuses and shift blame, we're creating an imaginary person that doesn't actually exist. We're creating someone on the surface that to everybody's eyes looks as if it's real, but isn't at all. And the truth is that we've all encountered people like that, am I right? That we've all met people who seem to have it all together on the exterior and seem to be moving in the right direction in every facet of our lives, but then we encounter relationship with them and we begin to get to know them, and immediately we encounter the moment where we're like, wow, I think I like the imaginary version of that person a whole lot better than I like the real version of that person. But in our quest to live our best life, we think the way to that best life is for us to be known for something that's better than where we presently are. And so we just keep managing our image by pretending to be something that we're not. And the moment that we start pretending, what happens in every single one of our lives and in every single one of our stories is that we stop improving. When we start pretending, ultimately what happens is we stop improving. And maybe for no other reason than we simply don't have time to improve ourselves. Because what some of us know is this: if we were forced to get ridiculously honest and look close enough at the moments of our lives in which we have been pretending and creating our image, is that that's a full-time job. It's exhausting. And in managing our image, we simply don't have time to make ourselves into the person we're acting like we are, to improve ourselves within our marriage or our finances or our career or our relationship, to make us better physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually in our lives, because it is straight up a full-time job for us to pretend like something that we're not and for us to cover up who we really are. And can I just say what I know you have all thought at some point in your lives? Pastors are the worst at this, am I right? And the reality is within my own life, daily I feel like I'm faced with the expectations to have it all together all the time. To always be on my best behavior and to always live up to everybody else's expectations. Because what I know is true is this, is that nobody wants me to walk into this room and walk up in this stage and introduce a brand new series that we're going into. That I want to introduce you to this new series that's all about self-control, the secret of self-control. But before we fully dive in, I'd like to start by just thanking the elders for sending someone out to get me last night when I couldn't drive myself home. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants me to preface it with that. Nobody wants to hear me introduce a brand new series about how to be the best in our marriage and then start the series with. And last night, my wife told me that she's giving me one last shot to get it right. And I guess what I'm realizing is that it's your fault. Wait, did I say something earlier about making excuses to manage my image? Making excuses of why I'm not where I want to be in my life? You see, the truth that most of us are faced with is this, is that most of us have gaps in our lives. Gaps between what we want to be known for and what we actually are. And the danger of trying to cover those gaps consistently in our lives by managing our image is that ultimately somewhere along the line we become pretendaholics. And it becomes habitual to us. That it's just necessary along this journey called life in order for people to see us the way we want them to see us, for us to just continue pretending. And we've pretended and covered our image for so long that we don't know how to do anything else. And frankly, along the way, somewhere we've lost ourselves and we're not even sure we know who we are anymore. And that's a problem. Because until we embrace who and where we really are, we can't get to where we want and need to be. Did you catch that? Until we embrace who and where we really are, we will never get to where we want and need to be. We were designed in such a way as humanity that growth always happens in the aftermath of being known. Truly known, accurately known, and not just by ourselves. Yes, that's important, but that isn't all that we are called and needed to be known by in order for us to grow in our lives. We were designed in such a way that we live our best life when we are known by God and known by some other people around us. And let me be clear about this, because I think this is so important. I'm not talking fully known by everyone everywhere, completely exposing all lives and the good and the bad to everyone on every street corner. That's not safe. That's not healthy. That doesn't promote the growth and the health that God wants for our lives, but truly known by a few. That's why I believe with all of my heart that the local church is at its best when there are pretend-free zones for everyone. The church, the local church, is really growing people when we've created a circle for everyone to engage in, not just a row for everyone to sit and listen in. And maybe you feel like you've been let down in that, or burned at a church, or maybe even burned at core by that. And no more pretending. We make mistakes. I make mistakes. We haven't always gotten this right, but that was never our intention, because from the beginning, we've always believed with all of our hearts that growth happens best in circles, not in rows. And we want to help every age find a circle that they can engage in to be known in a healthy environment. This is why we believe this with all of our heart. Because when we look back into God's instruction manual for our life, and we look back into the first century, to the very first pastor in the very first church in Jerusalem, a guy by the name of James. He had a famous brother, you may know his brother, a guy by the name of Jesus. James staked his claim. He staked his life and his faith to this. This thing that we found written in this letter by James in chapter 5, verse 16, when he writes this: "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. And right off the bat, some of y'all are like, nope, not happening. What else you got? Because Ben, you start talking about telling somebody else about my shortcomings, my failures, my struggles in life, and what I recognize is that is just too risky. I don't know that I want my business being out there to anybody else. But what if I told you that at the beginning of 2023, it's too risky for your life and the sake of your growth not to engage in that? What if I told you that your growth in this year was dependent upon taking a step like that in your life? That your growth is directly proportional to your willingness to be courageous enough to have a pretend-free zone with a small group of people where you can share your struggles of life and know that they're praying for you and know that they're fighting for you and know that they're in your corner and wanting what's best for you and for you to take the next step and for you to find your way out of whatever that struggle is and for you to put that in your rearview mirror and to move towards something better and healthier in your life and your finances, in your relationships. James goes so far to say that when you engage in that, change happens. That's why he says, when you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, you may be healed. James is talking about change in our life. Transformation in that area of our life where there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be. Why can this bring transformation? Well, he goes on to make this clear. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. James says that when we surround ourselves with the right people and we allow ourselves to be transparent with the right people and we know those people are fighting for us and we know those people are praying for us and we know those people are in our corners, that stuff is powerful. That stuff produces wonderful results. That stuff brings transformation and change to our life. But for most of us, what we'd say is, yeah, but Ben, that's none of their business. That's nobody else's business but mine to know the struggles and the hardship and the heartache that I'm walking through. And God would say, if you're really a follower of me, it is their business. Because you, as a Christ follower, are now a part of one body. And when the foot is ailing, it's the knee's business. It's the elbow's business. It's the hand's business. We are all a part of one body trying to grow and move forward together. And at the beginning of a new year, I'm going to say something that might sting for some of us, but that's okay. We all need it at the beginning of our 2023. Here goes. You cannot follow Jesus unless you are functioning within the context of community with other Jesus followers. Hello. Y'all okay? You cannot follow Jesus unless you are functioning within the context of community with other Jesus followers. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. If you are a Christian and somewhere along the way you started to believe, well, I don't need organized religion and I can do this on my own, I can do this alone. No. You can't. Read the New Testament. Because when you pick up the gospel and the story of Jesus and everything that happened in the aftermath of Jesus' life, what you will consistently see time and time again throughout the gospels and the letters of Paul and what this dude James wrote and what Peter wrote, what you'll find is a whole lot of one anothering that happens throughout the entire New Testament. That our faith and our growth, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, is dependent upon us being willing to one another in our life. This is what the New Testament is full of. Check out what the writer of Hebrews writes in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And as if 2,000 years ago, he knew what was coming in the middle and in the aftermath of a global pandemic. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. But let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. He keeps throwing out these words, motivate one another, encourage one another. Do you know what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here? He's talking about the need that if we want to grow, it is a necessity for us to have accountability in our lives. If you want to follow Jesus, be healthy and experience growth, you have to have accountability, you have to have belonging, and you have to have care from other human beings in your life. It's that simple. But our resistance stems from a place of believing that the growth we desire to be known for something and live the life we want to live can be acquired through something as simple as knowledge acquisition. We've all been there, right? That my growth is solely predicated on me compiling the knowledge I need to know what to do, to know how to get better in that particular area of my life. And so what I need to do in order for me to grow in that area of my life is read something, listen to somebody talk. If I just consume something, that's the key to the growth I desire. Wrong. Because the truth is, content consumption will never be a substitute for community. Content consumption in all lives will never be an adequate substitution for community. You'll get smarter, sure. You'll get smarter in that particular area in which you want to be known for something. But can I just say this? You'll never actually get better. Not the kind of better that lasts. Not the kind of better that you're looking for. Not the kind of better that you want your 2023 to be defined by. Because the truth is, content consumption will never be an adequate substitution for what community can bring to your life. It'll never be an adequate substitution to what accountability and belonging and care within community can bring to every facet of your life. Yes, even the facet in which you are desiring to be known for something, in which there is a gap that exists between where you are and where you want to be. The fastest way to accelerate that growth from where you are to where you want to be is taking the courageous step to become involved in transparency within community. To surround yourself with a few of the right people that allow you to be in a pretend-free zone as you walk through the bumps and the hurdles of life. You see, this very truth, this way that we are wired, that we need community for growth, it's the very reason why people who come to CORE and just listen to me, just sit in rows, always eventually leave. Why? Well, it could be simply because I'm not that good of a communicator. And that's true. But what if I told you that most likely there's a deeper reason? What if I told you that the reason was because content consumption in rows will never be enough? It'll never be enough for the growth that we desire, for the connection that we were wired for. And the question I'd love to ask is, did you invest in community? That's the key to you experiencing growth. That's the key to you experiencing change. That's the key to you experiencing transformation within the context of the local church. When you say, I didn't get what I need, did you invest in community? Did you put yourself out there? Did you show up to work nights, parties in the park, Global Impact Day, sign up to serve alongside of other people or get into a group? Content consumption will never be an adequate substitution for community in our lives. You see, what I'm willing to bet is that when every single one of us look at the lives of the people that we love, the lives of the people around us, we see stories of transformation within some of those people's lives. And yet what I'm willing to bet is that in every single person we've ever encountered who's experienced some transformation in their lives and things have gotten drastically better, there has not been one such story of transformation within the life of a human being that did not come with some other people being a part of that story. It just doesn't work that way, right? We all know that to be true when we get honest enough and we look close enough, that every story of transformation that we've ever heard or we've ever witnessed has always included other people within that story. And if you want your 2023 to be transformed, be courageous enough to make this the year in which you do your due diligence to engage in community within your life. Real, lasting growth happens when we experience acceptance with an agenda. And some of y'all, when I throw those words together, you kind of get the shudders, am I right? Because you're like, Ben, I like the acceptance part, but I don't really like the agenda part. That's what I'm trying to cut out of my life, is I don't want people who have an agenda for me and being in relationship with me. And yet we're missing the point, we're missing the heart of that when we're in relationship with the right people. Because when we look close enough, isn't that what God does in our life? We experience those two things in conjunction when we enter into relationship with the God of the universe who knows us most, who knows us best, every fiber of our being, every mistake that we've ever made, and yet still loves us most. That he accepts us just as we are, right where we are. We experience acceptance in our relationship with God. But that acceptance also comes with an agenda. That while we have a God who loves us right where we are, just as we are, we also have a God who loves us too much to leave us where we are. If that's the heart of our Heavenly Father, Shouldn't that be the heartbeat of the local church? That we as individuals want to be willing to put ourselves within the context of community this year, to take that courageous step to encounter acceptance with an agenda, to surround ourselves with people who accept us just as we are, but love us enough to want to see us grow, to want to see us move out of the unhealthy circumstances of our lives, who want to push us, motivate us, encourage us, as the writer of Hebrews wrote, spur us on to something better in our lives, that we encounter community in our lives this year in order for us to go to a whole new level. It's the reason why I tell you this, that for the sake of your kids, that the best possible thing you could do for your kids before they reach middle school, before they reach high school, is to find them a pretend free zone to engage in. To show up consistently in a place like this, because every single Sunday morning they're going to walk into a little safari or velocity environment that's centered on putting kids in circles, not in rows, and putting them around a small group leader and a group of friends who are walking through the exact same things as them, so that they can experience their own pretend-free zone, so that they can experience community and see the importance of that at a very early age, to know that when they hit middle school, when they hit high school, when they hit young adults, that this is something I need, that this is something that I was wired for, that this is something ultimately that moves me in my life from where I am to where I want to be. See, the truth of the matter is this, that when it comes to leading our kids, but also when it comes to leading ourselves, deep down, we all have this desire that we all want to be known for something. But what we really need is to be known by someone. That your growth in this new year is predicated on you being willing to take the courageous step to put yourself in the context of community, to be known by someone, so that you can be able to move forward and live your best life in 2023. Would you pray with me? Father, today, God, we thank you for what you've done in each one of our lives and each one of our stories in 2022. Undoubtedly, for every single one of us, we can look back and we can see plenty of ups, and we can also see plenty of downs. But what we believe with all of our hearts is that you are a God who has been there through it all. A God who wasn't scared by our messes of the last year. A God who didn't run away from our mistakes. A God who didn't turn his back on us. A God who's always been by our side, accepting us as we are, but loving us too much to leave us where we are. And that way, with all of my heart, God, I believe that for every single one of us, in some way, shape, or form, in that same vein, this acceptance with an agenda of wanting something better for us, God, what you want us to see in this new year is that that something better lies on the other side of being willing to engage in community, to be known by someone, to have our own pretend-free zone that we can operate within and be transparent within our lives. And so, God, for every single one of us, I believe that there's a step to take in that direction, a small step of getting a little bit more engaged, of signing up to serve, of trying out a small group, surrounding myself with someone and no longer believing that I can just be a lone ranger Christian and I don't need organized religion and I don't need the church and I don't need anyone else. I can do this alone. For us to put those lies aside in this brand new year and for us to really begin to engage and believe that our growth is dependent upon it. God, may we have the courage to take a step in a healthier and better direction. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Hey, like I said earlier, man, I want to thank you for being here and being a part of Core Online and Volunteer Appreciation Sunday. If you're a volunteer, I want you to hear us say this one last time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Like I said earlier, next week we're kicking off this brand new series. We're back to in-person. It'll be on Core Online as well. We want you here to experience what we believe is going to be a transformative series to kick off our 2023 that we're calling Win the Day. Again, have a great rest of your Sunday. Have a great rest of your holiday season. We hope to see you soon.